Adventures, an Illinois Higher Education Weekly Roundup, Bronies, Mindless Millennials, and Professor Statist. Originally published on September 17, 2015, at libertyunderattack.com and read to you by the author. This semester marks the very first one that I have been motivated to consistently attend my higher level indoctrination classes, and the reasoning is certainly not a commonly cultivated one. As I discussed in the last installment of my Adventures in Illinois Higher Education, AIHE series, modern day public education is not meant to teach students. Rather, it is for the molding of minds in hopes of producing profitable tax slaves. You may be asking, well, Shane, if it's not for learning, then what is the reason for your motivation? There are a couple of reasons, one quite cliche and the other unique. As with every other student, I'm there to get the magic piece of paper, which indicates that I've completed my coursework and am now qualified to move into the real world. The final reason is this. With the classes I'm taking this semester, the writing content is pure gold, and to not take advantage of this opportunity would be a regrettable decision. Author's note, since no update was released the week of the 7th, this will cover 2 weeks. My class days start with learning about the superstition known as American government, as well as politics. The class always starts with current events, and the hot topic last week was Kim Davis, the Rowan, Kentucky County clerk who refused to issue homosexual marriage licenses. I knew this was going to be interesting as I was surrounded by a bunch of millennial leftists who all get their news from fascist book and never inquire further. The discussion started as you would expect from the demographic, and everyone took the side of the homosexuals. Most of the class openly supported the state's use of force to lock Davis in a cage since she disobeyed the orders from the gowned tyrants. That admittance from the violence advocates proved to me that 1, I am surrounded by a bunch of lunatics, and 2, I am now certain that they are my enemy as well as the enemy of freedom. The discussion went on for a little while, and I remained silent. I am attempting to be as incognito with my anti-political beliefs as I possibly can, but if no one was going to bring logic and rationality into the discussion, it had to be me. I raised my hand and told Professor Statist, "But, Professor Statist, according to the 2004 amendment to the Kentucky Constitution, as well as the federal Constitution, she was perfectly within the law and was upholding the oath she took when she came into office. The state of Kentucky voted on the amendment, and they decided that gay marriage should remain illegal. There is something terribly wrong with this situation. Warning, I will now begin using Statist vocabulary. If we are going to live in this democratic republic, it should be based on majority. Around 75% of Kentucky voters decided that marriage should be between one man and one woman. It seems quite undemocratic for 9 Supreme Court justices to overturn the decision of the majority. Additionally, marriage is not listed a single time in the federal constitution, which means that, according to the 10th Amendment, that power is to be left to the states. It was left to the states, Kentucky decided, and then this ruling was done by way of the 14th Amendment. Don't you see something terribly wrong if one amendment can usurp one of the original ones? And I'll first say, the entire room was staring at me when I finished my rebuttal to the nonsensical rhetoric that had been spewed out of every orifice for the first 15 minutes. His response took the wind out of my sails, and I didn't pursue it any further. Quote, "And that is another interpretation, but the Supreme Court's job is to interpret the Constitution. They saw the denial of gay marriage as a violation of the Equal Protections Clause, and they ruled accordingly. Like I've said many times before, logical, rational people disagree, and that is what politics is for. To solve problems and determine the values of society." End quote. If you were confused before as to why I ended the short-lived debate, now you know why. There are a few things that need to be pointed out in regards to his nonsensical rebuttal. First off, the Supreme Court's job is not to enact law, which is what they did through the Obergefell versus Hodges decision. Additionally, their job is to uphold the federal constitution, which means they must abide by the 10th Amendment. Their ruling usurped multiple state constitutions, including Kentucky and Texas. Secondly, politics is not a thing because logical, rational people disagree, therefore politics is a way to solve problems and determine values of society. No, sir, that is not the role of politics. Politics is a tool used by the state to dupe mindless folks into believing that they can enact change through political means. It is a way to take attention off of the coercive, violent institution known as the state and give people hope that if they just change rulers, everything will be fine. Lastly, Professor Statist's love for the 14th Amendment is extremely frustrating, and the only two times I've rebutted his arguments were when they related to the aforementioned amendment. That concludes American government and politics. Now on to sociology. For those who haven't read the last installment of the AIHE, my sociology teacher is quite literally a social justice warrior, Marx-loving communist. I'm not quite sure her admiration for Marx can be topped, nor am I sure if I can top her second-grade definition of communism that she explained to a class full of college students, but I'll give it a shot. She welcomed us to another session of social engineering and started off the class by playing a YouTube video titled, "Are Bronies Changing the Definition of Masculinity?" Before I move forward to the video, I'd like to tell you about my first experience with bronies. My brother used to go onto 4chan a lot. One evening, he sent me a link and said, go take a look. 4chan has a tendency to be pretty dark, and the Bronies subpage didn't fail on that note either. There was obviously the mild side, still creepy as hell, with artwork, discussions, and even My Little Pony tattoos on grown men. There was surely a darker side, though. If you've ever heard of erotic novels, the Bronies have their own version of that, too. We'll call this Pony Erotica. So, as you can imagine, when this video started playing, my mind reverted back to my traumatizing first encounter. Those 4 minutes felt like forever, and I was cringing the entire way through. It promoted the reassigning of gender roles and failed to mention the extremely dark side of this community. Also, this show is made for little girls, and 20-something-year-old men, sometimes older, are attending these My Little Pony events. My teacher then asked the class if anyone is part of the Brony community. Three or four hands were raised. To my surprise, there were actually a few students that shared their concerns, so I didn't have to. The Brony discussion lasted for the first 20 minutes of class. The rest of the class was spent destroying traditional marriage, promoting the idea of men acting like women, and vice versa, and talking highly of the mental disorder known as transgenderism. As I mentioned in the last installment, personal choice issues aren't any of my concern. The issue I have is with the politicization and the way these ideas are propagated in higher-level indoctrination classrooms, such as this one. That concludes last week's classes. This week was a slow week. All three of my classes were canceled on Tuesday for various reasons, and today was a day full of tests and quizzes, except for philosophy. In American government and politics, we had an extremely simple quiz over traditional democratic theory, TDT. The essay we had to write this was interesting, and when I tell you the question, you'll understand why I had a field day with that one. Professor Statist wanted our opinions on whether the United States today fits the TDT. The five aspects of TDT are equality, participation, information, majority rule, minority right, and representation. I selected participation and representation for my 2 points of evidence and argued against modern-day America meeting the criterion for TDT. For the representation part, I discussed lobbyists, unions, and other special interest groups, and how if you watch policy, you can see that they represent their money interests, not their constituents. For the participation part, refer to my article titled The Communist State of Illinois, Voting Does Not Work, an Analysis. He also had us determine whether or not the political cartoon in the original article was in line with our opinion. My stance was yes, but I expanded far beyond what was needed, as there is no wrong answer, according to him. The cartoon is a teacher and a student. The teacher says, what's democracy? The student says, democracy is the freedom to elect our own dictators. Following that class was sociology once again, and we had an exam. I didn't spend a single second studying for either, and luckily it wasn't necessary. Sociology test was a joke. 35 multiple choice, true and false questions with 2 short answers. If you count the duplicate reworded questions, it would probably amount to a mere 20. There were about 5 questions on Karl Marx's conflict theory, all of them basically the same. I completed the test in about 15 minutes and was relieved to be free from the day's activities. After these past 2 weeks, my hatred and concern for public schooling only became more substantial. Better yet, my experiences in higher-level indoctrination are a posteriori. There is also no opportunity cost involved. The 7.5 hours I spend there a week could be much better spent on research, the radio show, and more articles, but instead I'm having leftist propaganda shoved down my throat by professors that are not grounded in reality just so I can get a magic piece of paper. Not to mention the exorbitant price of higher education. But rest assured, the series is only in its infancy, and it will get worse as time goes on, especially since next year I'll be at Illinois State University, the land of Bernie Sanders rallies. Stay tuned for more lunacy, more statism, and a complete disregard for logic and rationality. I'm looking forward to it, and you should be too. You've just heard Adventures in Illinois Higher Education Weekly Roundup, Bronies, Mindless Millennials, and Professor Statist, originally published at LibertyUnderAttack.com on September 17th, 2015, and read to you by the author.